Well, hey, everybody. My name is Josh Erickson, and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And I'm so glad that you are making this online service a priority for your day or night or evening or whenever you might be watching it. And we're so glad that you are with us. We really do hope that our time together is a blessing for you. Today, we're going to be talking about the specific ways that God calls us to invest in God's work in the world through our church. And if you're part of our church, you are called to make an investment in our church. Did you know that you have something that I need and that I have something you need? And the person that you spend time with has something that you need and they have it, or maybe you have something that they need and you need to give it to them? That's a fact of life that if we are honest about it, we realize is very true about our relationships with one another and our relationships together, specifically as part of a church family. Now, I say this because we want to recognize that if Park Ridge Presbyterian Church is your church home, or is your church family, or it's where you're a member, it means that you have a calling from God to make an investment in our church. That you are called by God to use the gifts, to use the abilities, and to use the time you have in order to help our church achieve the vision that God has given to us. Well, the reason I know this is because this has been true about people of faith and from the church from the very get-go, and it's true for us today. It's rooted in the fact that God has given to us what we need to do our ministry, but God expects us to give it back in order for us to achieve it together. Now, like I alluded to just a minute ago, this has been true from the very beginning for followers of Jesus, and we read about it in the New Testament in many different places. But one of the places that we get a clear sense of this is in the book of Ephesians. In the fourth chapter of that book in the New Testament, we get a glimpse of what this was looking like as they were beginning to verge into really what it's like the second generation and the second movement of the church in those early days. I shared a little bit about this last week, but let me just refresh just a step on what this looks like. So in those early days, there was a movement of people that started in Jerusalem, but was spreading throughout the Mediterranean world. And specifically in this place called Ephesus, which is in modern day Turkey on the Aegean Sea. If you can imagine that from history class or you're looking it up right now, that town is about equal with Athens on the Greece side of things. I say that because, like, I want us to remember that these are stories about real people in real places. And actually, that's one of the places you can go and see ancient ruins is for the city of Ephesus there in ancient Turkey, in modern day Turkey rather as well. Now, the specific thing that was happening is they were trying to understand what it meant that God was loving people that weren't just the Jews, but God was loving everybody. That God was loving people that have traditionally been thought of as not worthy of God's love. And what they were finding is that God was using people in order to bless others. Specifically, as they were expanding and as they were growing, that God was giving people gifts, abilities, or confirming them, or using some of these things to help them grow and to help them expand the impact of God's love in the world. Now, in Ephesus, they talked about the value of evangelists, of apostles, of prophets, and teacher preachers. Now, those have some specific meanings, like people that were sent to start new churches, people that were meant to be sharing the good news of Jesus with other people in sort of a public way. And then there were preacher teachers, kind of a combo sense of people that were growing and leading individual smaller churches as it was. But this sense of this building up and this investment in other people. And what the book of Ephesians teaches there is that God is the one who gave them these gifts. God is the one who gave them the abilities to do the things that the early church needed. And when they used those gifts to bless others, then more and more people came to know that God loved them, and more people had concrete needs met. Because one of the amazing things about those early followers of Jesus, and one of the things that's true about a lot of philanthropic people in that age that were Jews or had other religions, is they were caring for people that nobody else was caring for. They were caring for orphans and widows. They were caring for women who were forgotten and lost for different reasons. And when they came together, they were helping people experience that they were not forgotten, that they were not lost, and that God loved them. And when we realize that 2,000 years later, we are standing in the same line, that same tradition, that same blessed place to be, we realize that that's what God is calling us to do, that God has given us gifts, that God has given us ability, God has given us time that God wants us to put back into God's work in the world. And it's a similar sense that's true for us as it was then. And I think that's confirmation that God's still at work, that God's still at work through you and through me. And because of that, I have something you need and you have something I need. And if we all invested in the work of our church, then we actually are able to do what God wants us to do. Now, we talk about this at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church as pursuing the vision God has given to us of being a church that engages and inspires all people to share God's love, grow in faith, and serve our neighbors. That's the vision of our church. It's our vision statement. And I realize sometimes when I talk about it that some people are hearing that for the first time. So if you're like, I didn't know that was our vision, that's okay. And I'm really glad you do know that now. Now, that sounds like a really noble thing, at least I think it does, or I hope you do too. But part of it ends up being, how do we actually make this happen? And that means that we have to invest ourselves in the work of our church. Now, this looks like an investment of three different kinds. And I want us to think about this triad of investment, or a trio of investments that God is calling each one of us to make in our church. And specifically, the trio or the triad of investments are time, finances, and skills. I'll say that again. The triad or the trio is time, finances, and skills. God is calling you and me to invest these three things in our work together. And I'm going to give you a little sense of what this looks like. So when we think about investing our time in our church, I want us to think about this in a particular way. The first part of this is to realize there are 168 hours in a week. Now, you have obligations and responsibilities. We all need to sleep. We all need to eat. We all need to take care of ourselves, some personal hygiene. But there's a lot of discretionary time that's left. So I want to encourage you to think about how you can invest 3 hours a week in the ministry of our church on average. To do that, I want you to think about spending 1 hour where you're investing in someone else, 1 hour that you're investing in our Sunday mornings together for the second hour, and for the third hour, I want to think about a way that you can invest yourself in someone who is down and someone who's struggling, who's either connected to our church or someone in your life. If on average we do that, we will invest a really significant amount of time helping our church achieve what God wants us to. So that's 1 hour in investing in through our church in someone else, thinking about like a small group, thinking about a service opportunity, thinking about meeting a need in one of our ministry areas. 1 hour then invested in someone who's struggling in your life. That doesn't necessarily bless our church, but it does put our faith into action. And then also thinking about, on average, maybe 1 hour invested in our Sunday morning experience together. Specifically, that breaks down more to serving as greeters and ushers once a quarter and helping with coffee hour once a quarter as well for people who are able to do so. I wanted to break this down into a real practical way to think of it about how we invest our time. One other thing that we have to invest in our life together as a church is our finances. Now, many of us in our church have some ability to give back financially to our church. I want to say quickly also that many of us can and do give back to other organizations that are doing very important work that is related to God's passion and God's love for the world through our mission partners and other agencies. But for our church, a target to keep in mind is that we want to hopefully see every adult give around $1,500 to $2,000 a year to our church. Now that breaks down to roughly $125 a month per adult to $170, give or take. I give you a specific target because if each adult gives around that much, and each adult that's a couple gives twice that, it will help us pursue our financial goals. It'll help us to be able to sustain what we're doing as a church and continue to live out our calling as a church collectively. Now, I know some of you are going to hear that and go like, well, that's a lot. Or some of you might be saying, well, I give more than that. That is true, and that's okay. But to give us a sense that on average, if we do this collectively, it'll move us forward. And we need to be doing that because God gives us the opportunities before us. And when we share our financial resources, when we pool them together, we know we do more together than we could apart. And the last way that we can invest ourselves in our church is through the use of our skills and abilities. We have an amazing ministry together. We have an array of things that we have to do, that I have to do to be the church that we are. And we need to keep doing that. And there are some specific skills and abilities that people bring to the table that we need. There's a phrase that I hope is helpful for us, which is to make sure that you do only what you can do. Because if you do that, and I do what I can do, then collectively, we bring all of our best abilities to the table. There are people in our church that have so many different gifts. We have hospitality gifts. We have relationship gifts. We have financial and strategic leadership gifts. We have people that are able to teach kids, people that are able to teach teenagers, build relationships with them. We have people that love being on the session. We have people that are great trustees and deacons and small group leaders. The people that manage the rummage sale have a passion for that and some giftings that are remarkable and persistence as well. Those are some specific examples, but think about this. Every single thing that our church is supposed to do, we have to do that together. And we need to have everybody contributing in their areas of passion and gifting to see this happen. How do you know if you're doing that? Well, serving in an area of passion or gifting is easy. It's simple. You want to keep doing it. And when you do it, it gives energy back to you. You might get physically tired and need to go take a nap or go home and rest, but you want to get after it the next day. And when everyone's doing that, we are able to do more of what God wants us to do. We're able to pursue that vision that we have so that all people can share God's love and grow in faith and serve the neighbors that need help. Now, like I said at the outset, what this looks like is you doing what you're supposed to do, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Because you have gifts, you have finances, you have time that need to be invested, and I need to do the same. And I gotta trust you to do what you can do, and you have to trust me to do what I can do. And when you do that, and when I do that, and when the people all around us do that together, we have a beautiful investment in our church. And not just an investment in our church, but it allows us to do what God wants us to do. To bless people like God wants us to bless them. To help them experience a life of freedom and a life that is full of what they need. Because there's an abundance in many of our lives. And when we invest that back together, we help God's dream come true. God's calling our church to help God's dream come true in our part of the world. Let's all make sure that we're willing to invest what we have to see that happen. And when we continue to do that, or we do that more in better ways, more and greater things happen in the name of God. And that's what God wants for us every day, to live worthy of the calling that God has given to us, to bless others, knowing that we've been blessed first. Would you please pray with me? God, we're grateful that you have given to us everything we really need to do the work you have given us to do as a church. As people who are seeking to be faithful, help us to do what we can to bless others. God, help us to be mindful of just how precious these gifts are that you have blessed us with. God, as we seek to use our time, when we seek to use our finances, and we seek to use our abilities to bless our church, to bless our fellow church members, our friends in the church, and our families. Help us to do this in a way that shows that we are willing to make the investment you call us to make. God, we also ask that you continue to help us to bring about peace and hope in the dark circumstances that we face. God, we know there are many challenges facing people near and far here in Chicago and around the world. And God, we ask that you help us to remember those and do what we can to bring about your dream come true in those hard circumstances too. God, we ask that you bless us, that you help us to remember that you are with us now and always. We pray this in your name.